Stephen Donnell.
To something.
Yeah.
You ready to hop right into it?
Yes, sir.
Ain't never seen before.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the AO Chill Podcast. Today, you already know, I got a guest that was brought in from a friend of the podcast, a Mr. Sean Boyd. Shout out to you, man. Man, Sean Boyd gave us the camera that we're filming us with right now. Well, he helped us find the camera, number one. Number two, also bringing us fire guests. So, my boy, take a couple seconds, minutes, let the people know who you are.
Yo, yo, how you doing? I go by Stephen Darnell, straight out of Montgomery, Alabama, by all places, man. Shouts out to the gun. Shouts out Ski 334. Y'all know how we get down, man. You know, I'm about that raw, that real hip hop, man. You know what I'm saying? A point in time where, you know, you actually had to attack this thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, where you actually had to be serious about your craft, you know what I'm saying? So I'm pretty much like, you know, just living out my like villainous origin, so to speak.
Yeah.
Not like I'm a bad person, but you know, you said be real, be raw. Like, I'd be remiss if I would say that, you know, I didn't have a slight chip on my shoulder, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude, of course. So why don't we hop right into that a little bit? So you said you're originally from Montgomery, Alabama.
Yes, sir.
So how was it like growing up there? Like, what is it like? Describe it to me.
Black.
Okay.
All black. All the time. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I say that because, like, you know, like they say, you're a product of your environment. You
yes.
know what I'm saying? So, ordinarily, you know, just growing up in a place like Montgomery that's enriched in, you know, African-American culture, like with the civil rights movement, you know what I'm saying? Like the Montgomery bus boycott and, you know, how, you know, Rosa Parks, she didn't want to give up her seat, you know, and she wanted to sit where she wanted to sit. And the people, you know, just being told those stories, you know, growing up and having, you know, Martin Luther King, who, you know, preached, you know, at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, you know, right in the place where I grew up, you know what I'm saying? It definitely embedded a sense of pride within me. And, you know, I knew, I just felt different. I knew I was different, you know what I'm saying? And I knew that given the opportunity to be on the platform, I wouldn't shy away from just, like, showing that, you know what I'm saying?
Dude, for sure, dude. So what age did you, so how long were you in Alabama? Because obviously we're here in Jersey now.
Yeah, for sure.
So how many years did you spend over there?
Nah, man, I was born and raised in Alabama. Like, you know, just the latter part of my life, you know, like my whole childhood was spent in Alabama. Just, you know, being raised by my dad, my grandmother, you know, my mom, you know, my parents, you know, they went their separate ways when I was real young, like 5-6 years old. So that, you know, I'm the oldest, you know, I got two sisters. So they kind of like put us in a less stable situation at first. So it'd be staying with grandma or, you know, you're going to go stay with my pops, you know, go stay with my moms. And, you know, everybody was just like, you know, moving around. And that kind of took a toll on me at first as a kid because it was a lot was going on, like, at school and, you know, dealing with bullies at school, you know what I'm saying? Being picked on, you know, due to my complexion and stuff like that, or just whatever, man, I was dealing with. So I had to kind of grow up fast, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man.
Like, I definitely feel that, dude. So, did you go to college there, up until college? Like, so you did middle school, yep, high school out in Alabama. Did you do college out in Alabama too, or did you do anything like that?
Right, yeah. I went to, you know, Sidney Lanier High School and Montgomery, Alabama. You know what I'm saying? Dope school that was pretty much like a crucible for, like, just hip-hop culture and fashions and stuff like that.
How so?
Every day was a fashion show when you, you know, when you're going to high school in Alabama in the Gump, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like where I grew up in Montgomery, it's like 2 hours from Atlanta, Georgia. So to really bring it full circle for you, I have a first cousin that lives in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, my uncle, his dad and my mom, my brother and sister, you know, so to that point, it's like when I would go to Atlanta in the summers of my childhood, I could see the culture. I could see the music scene brewing as a child. Fast forward, I grow up with that same cousin. Now we're in the nightclubs. We're in the different nightclubs in Atlanta. I'm there when, you know, artists from Atlanta records are breaking, and I see the reaction of the crowd in the club when, you know, you don't even have to leave the city to have a hit song. You know what I'm saying? I saw artists. I stood there. I occupied the same space that they did. And it was just like the dream I had from the sixth grade that I suppressed came back. I wasn't ashamed of that dream before. You know what I mean? Like now. Before,
and that dream being to be...
To be a rapper, to be an artist. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I felt like as a kid, like, yo, this... Nobody really ever speak about this, you know, being this. It's like if the teacher go around the room, I want to be in the NBA. I want to play football. I want to, you know, and I played football, you know, that, you know, for like a brief stint, you know, trying to play in college and, you know, just where we're from, using sports as a outlet, a way out, a ticket out, mm-hmm. so to speak. So it's just like, man, this is my only way. So. To tell somebody like, yo, you know, I'm be a rapper, like, you know, it's almost like a laughable statement, especially if you're not coming off as a street cat, you know what I mean, street guy in that sense. And I believe it was around like, you know, 2003 when Kanye, you know, came out and kind of like made conscious backpack emo like rap popular for the mainstream.
Yeah, of course.
And it made it cool to not, you know, have to be a trapper or, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. or wear a jersey or, you know.
You know, I think it's interesting that you bring that up because I feel like, you know, similarly to when I was in high school, you know, like, or even when you're in middle school, over here, I feel like, at least in Jersey, you yeah. know, you say like, oh, like, I want to be a rapper. And you get like laughed in your face. So it's cool how there's that similarity because I feel like, right. you know, maybe at like a young age, like people just really don't believe mm-hmm. or like they really have faith in somebody right. to actually go for what they want to pursue. You know what I mean? And I think that's the case now a little bit too. You
yeah,
know?
Man.
Because a lot of people, how many people do you know from when you were like, you know, like back then?
I had that same conversation mm-hmm. all the time, bro. I tell people like, bro, how many even... A song, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Let alone songs
mm-hmm.
that people will actually vibes like, you know what I mean? It's like, I think about that, like, even to this day. And, you know, I love, you know, that environment. I love being put, that I was put in that environment because it gave me thick skin. It made me tough. It made me, you know, it gave me a drive, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. So talk to me a little bit about the first time that you actually, like, you know, what was the first, like, time you realized that you wanted to become a rapper? Who was inspiring you? Like, was it people around you? Was it something you saw on TV?
Yeah. Like, honestly, it's like rap growing up has always just been interwoven into our lives. Like, we didn't have to ask for it. You know what I mean? In a sense, it's like you born... And now you're seeing your older cousins raving over the new Tupac song. Like, I remember, like, when Tupac dropped Dear Mama and my cousins' reactions and everybody was going crazy. You know what I'm saying? Or I remember that feeling riding in a car, the beat-up Chevy with my cousin. And, you know, we got, like, a 10 in the trunk. But I remember the 808 pattern and how hard it thumped. I remember, you know, chilling in the, you know, club parking lot, you know, with my homies and just cats riding by back and forth in Chevys, you know what I'm saying? Trunk rattling. I just really wanted to give people that feeling, you know what I'm saying? So early on, I was influenced by like cats like Outkast and
Love Outkast.
Yeah, Goody Mob. Mm-hmm. But the people that wanted to be like the rappers around me were like my older cousins. They were the ones who was getting into like the technical aspect of, you know, recording over a tape or something like that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Just making CDs or whatever, and you know, having a setup. You know, I was just kind of like a fly on the wall, and I would get opportunities also. you know, to kind of like get on the mic. But I was rapping stuff that like I heard. I wasn't writing. It was just like I heard this, you know, I heard Goody Mob say this. So it sounded good. It was like the first rap I rapped. And to like end that point, you know, I went to a summer camp that was like, it was like a rough environment, you know, like. But I had these headphones on and I was playing the music that we recorded in the room. It was my part. I mean, this is my sixth grade summer going into the seventh grade. You know, this kid walks up to me like, you know, I won't lie, I was intimidated. You know, I'm just a little light-skinned kid, you know. But he walked up to me, was like, Red, that's the term of endearing, like, in the South for light-skinned. Like, you know, Red, what's up, Red? You know, Red, what you listening to? Like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, man. They've been to, like, laugh at me. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is something I recorded. I'll never forget it. It was like, he said, he was like, let me hear it. Like, you know what I mean? I gave him the headphones and had to be like four other kids, you know, from that same project, that neighborhood. And he put it on and I saw his face scrunch up and he started bobbing his head. He's like, this you, Red? This snapping, like, you know, no lie. To this day, I never, ever forget that moment. And I remember how he just passed the headphones around to different. And, like, I got their approval, like, you know what I mean, that moment. Like, they was cool with me. You know, they wouldn't mess with me. Like, you know what I'm saying? These kids coming from, you know, a different type of environment that I grew up in.
Word, word, word.
But that music, that moment right there, they made sure I was straight from that whole summer. You know what I'm saying?
And how old? How about?
I was 12 at that. Yeah, I was 12. I remember the walk from, I had to walk from my house in my neighborhood. Shouts out Spring Valley. Shouts out Cross Creek. You know what I'm saying? I had to take that walk from my house to this elementary school where we caught the bus, and it was like by that bus where all this, you know, took place. And, you know, even to this day, like, you know, I got a song rapping about that moment, rapping about those kids, you know, in that summer. You know, Armed and Dangerous by Biggie featuring Bone Thugs had just come out. I had that on Walkman, like, you know, I listened to that over and over and over and over from that walk from my house to my crib. And yeah, I was sold at that moment. I knew it's nothing else in life, you know, I'm gonna end up doing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude, for sure, dude. So tell me a little bit then about how this transformed. So you talked about wanting to become a sixth grader, want to become a rapper around sixth grade, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're moving out here, then you're actually doing your thing. You have a couple years going on, you know, people are rocking with your shit for the first time when you were 12 years old. So talk to me a little bit about your first time actually doing something serious, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean? Talking about like maybe performing or getting into a studio. Talk to me about that.
Right, yeah. Honestly, I could definitely say the first time where I said the dream like was revamped for me. I was going to college. I transferred to this college, you know, doing part to one of my homeboys, and then, you know, he just like, you know, invited me out there. So I transferred. I was going to a different school, so I transferred to, you know, Central Missouri. In this town, and like it just so happened that the dorm I moved in, you know, the guy who was like, you know, shouts out my boy CJ, man, you know what I'm saying? He had a setup, you know, in the dorm, and he was making beats on that and everything. And man, this just like chance. That's why I believe in God. Like, that's why I don't feel like nothing, you know, is accident, because like, how this guy like stay next to me, you know what I mean? And he was so cool. He invited me in, and he was just like, yeah, man, you rap, bro? I was like, how do you even know this? What, like, bro, like, how do you even, why would you even ask me that? Oh, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, oh, I'm black. He must automatically, you know what I mean? But, nah, real, it's real, bro. Like, you know, people know that we in the music, and this man got a microphone. He just assumed I wanted to get on it. Of course I want to get on it. Sir, what do you mean? Yes, sir. Yes, I do.
Why, thank you.
Bro, like, why, sure. No, yes. Of course. Do I have something written? I don't. But you got beats? Yeah, I'm going to try this thing. I was like, yo, I was playing sport. I was playing ball. I had torn my ACL and all that, bro. I was at a turning point in life. Like, yo, man.
Damn, you tore your ACL?
I tore that thing up,
dude,
boy.
I'm sorry for interrupting, dude, but I tore my ACL. This is my scar is here for
me. I see your scar, man. We that's a war wound. I love it, baby. Dude, I'm a dog, bro. Like, even though my rating in football was like 51, you know what I'm saying? I had speed and I picked up on things quickly.
Word.
I didn't play football, honestly, until like senior year of high school. I just went out because, you know, it's just giving me an outlet, you know, let out some aggression and play a receiver and stuff like that. And, but yeah, man, so fast forward, it's just like I'm on the sideline thinking of raps, like, you know what I mean? Oh, got it. What's the play? You know what I mean? But it's just like I can't tell nobody that because, you know, you got to be focused, you got to be locked in. And, but yeah, man, just.
So you were talking to me about recording in the dorm. Your boy had a setup.
Bro had a setup in the closet. He took all the clothes out. You know, he had to. I don't know if you know anything about microphones, but, you know, we. Us rappers, we really nerds too at the same time. You know,
I'm only
a
sound engineer, so I mean.
Facts. You're right, man. So you would know, like, what the MXL 990 $100 microphone he had. It was $100. I'll never forget. But because I was just like, oh, this mic is dope. He's like, man, that's a quick $100. I was like, dang. So I was like, all right. So, man, he just put the beat on. I listened to it. I didn't really know the technique, but I was just like, just rap the whole thing, just straight through, just like no hook, none of that, you know what I mean? Just like, was just saying the words. And he's like, damn, man, this your first time? I was like, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Just not really, I did it as a kid, but now it's just like my first time where I want to be like, yo, this is what I want to do in my life. Mm-hmm. Forget everybody. And he was just blown away, like, yeah, man, you're pretty much a natural, bro. Like, and I fell out of school because, like, you know, once I discovered that place, it was like, I wasn't even going to class. I was just standing in the dorm recording. I would watch him to see what he did for the recording. And then, you know, I would just record. I would start recording myself. He would just leave the dorm room open and just, allow me to get in. You know what I mean? I made so many records like that. But it was just like, I won't sit here and say I was the best at recording. It was a tough process for me, you know what I'm saying, at first. But I just had to drive. I just wanted it so bad.
And that's all you need, bro, drive.
Yeah.
Once you have the drive. So this is universe. Oh, but by the way, what were you studying at the time? Like, what was your?
I don't know, bro. Like, I mean, I think it was like physical education because, you know, I just wanted to, you know, work with kids and stuff like that and, you know, ultimately end up being a teacher or something like that. You know, because, you know, a lot of my family members, like, worked in education and stuff. So man,
Same here, dude.
Yeah.
Both my parents are actually teachers.
Yeah, that's fact. Yeah. That's fire. Yeah. So you know the life, you know.
Yeah, I know the life.
The life, you know. So it was just being around, like, that type of, like, wholesome environment all the time that I could say, you know, shape, you know, my ideas in. But I feel like, you know, because of me wanting to do music, I understood, like, an entertainment value or property, you know what I'm saying, as an artist. So I knew early on, like, I was, you know, going to be doing stuff that, you know, they didn't approve of or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But fast forward later, you know, I kind of cleaned up my act in a sense, you know what I'm saying? Like,
what, in between leaving school?
Yeah.
And, like, so how many years passed by between when you left school and started to clean up your act?
I would say I left school. I would say like 4 years. It was like a 4-year, you know, span. I call it like rap boot camp. Like, I had a manager from Atlanta, and, you know, it was during the time where I was now. It went from like, oh, I want to be a rapper, to like, boom, it's kind of like professional now. And you got to show up at the show. You got to show up at the studio. You got to do this interview. You got to do this drop.
And this happened before the 4 years or after the, well, this, when did this happen?
This is the period. This is the 4-year period. Like,
oh, in between.
From college and this 4-year period, I call it rap college for me, like rap boot camp, where it was like I dropped out of school. Mm-hmm.
And how did the manager happen? So talk to me, like, what happened right after you pick up from right after.
I got you, my brother. Like, it's like, this play is like a movie in my head every single day.
Bad.
So I would say that from the time I left school, I moved back home to Montgomery. You know what I'm saying? Crashing with my sister, and, like, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my sister. I love you, Kanisha, forever. I love you. Just let me crash. I know where to crash. So, you know, I'm down, man. I just left school, like, want to rap. I don't know, you know, what I'm doing with my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you want to rap, but now I'm not at the point where I got motion, you know what I mean, or doing anything. Just laying on the couch, just like trying to get up off the couch and not feel depressed, and listening to, like, you know, I listened to a lot of music on the radio. I was really tuned in to local radio a lot during that time period, because most of the local artists from that scene, like, I see they was blowing up because their songs was just getting played on the radio so much. So I was just like, bro, how can I get on the radio? And I actually did get on the radio.
Are any of those local artists, like, today, like, doing anything? Or, like, you know, like...
I don't, you know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of artists, like, that, you know, was big, you know, they was, like, they had a street element, and they no longer here today, you know what I mean? They passed away, you know, due to, you know, unnecessary violence, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace, Doe B, you know what I mean? Big artist, he had signed with T.I., and... You know, he was making waves. He went to my high school. You know what I'm saying? Still to this day, like, I draw inspiration from Doe B. And he was so young, he didn't have to go out like that. And it was just sad. Like, he was, like, he was, you know, getting the opportunity to live the dream that, you know, we all, you know, pursue. But, like, you know, just go back to what you said about just, like, that time period for me. I had that manager. Well, before I got the manager, you know, I'm going through this period. My sister let me crash. And then MySpace. Like, we had MySpace.
Yes.
MySpace. So this artist pop off. His name was Young L.A. You know what I mean? He was cracking. He had this song, you know what I mean, that was smashing that ATL called A9. And it was making this rounds, you know what I mean? I would hear that song on the radio all the time. Like, yo, the song is live. So what I do? I go on MySpace. You know, the top people, top eight or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is in top eight? Who's managing this guy? Like, you know, how can I find a guy? And I was like, I reach out to him. I'm thinking, like, you know, just reaching out, you know what I mean? And bro reached back. I was like, yo, he lived in ATL. My sister Kenesha, she let me get her car to drive to Atlanta to go meet up with bro. And that's when, like, you know, that's when the switch, you know, the evolution really started, you know what I mean? So she let me get her car and go out, you know, meet, bro, you know, rap. Just go through the process of learning what it takes to be an artist, what a star, you know what I mean? Like, it was a long period, but it was a tough period. I didn't know how to record, you know, I was struggling. But when I finally did piece it together, it was fire. It came out, like, you know what I'm saying? And
how would you describe, like, your rapping abilities, like, your flow at that time? Like, would you say it was decent? Would you say it was good? What would you say?
I always been my toughest critic. Like, I feel like once at the time I had no confidence in it, so I didn't like it. But today, if I go back and listen, I'm like, damn, I was snapping though. I was low key, like, I was getting off a little bit. It was just like the style I had. It was just so engulfed in the style that Atlanta was at that time. I was just, you know, that's what I heard. That's what I was so close to. That's what I saw was, like, hit making. So it was just like, yo, if I want to, you know, make good records, then I got to make records that sound like that, saying what, you know, same content and everything like that. But, you know, man, that manager, we didn't really see eye to eye because, you know, the person I wanted to be was, like, a real person. I wanted to let loose, and I didn't want to be just, like, you know, some tailor-made copy or something else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the moment I left that situation, it's the moment, like, you know, the light bulb kind of went off and how I wanted to approach my records and stuff.
Word. So how long did you have the manager for? Like, a year, 2 years?
Like, 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a 2-year process of just, like, man, you know, sitting in that recording booth, hot as ever, like... sad, frustrated, you know what I mean? Like, dang, bro. Like, I was really going through it because I'm like, yo, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? You kind of, like, sacrificed everything and said, you know, told everybody, like, this what you want to do, man. If you can't get it together, you can't make this work. Like, you know, what you going to do? And, you know, I'm just, like, one of those type of people. If I want to do something, I'm going to do it. Like, you know, come hell or high water, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever the process, I just got an understanding of, you know, what it's going to take to make it happen, you know what I mean?
Word. So now come to, like, 4 years after, right, you had this rough we'll call it Rapping University, right? Rapping University.
Yes, sir.
So 4 years come back, you understand what you kind of had to do. So what changes after those 4 years are done?
I kind of like, I don't know, man. I just kind of like just went to a place where.
What place? Or are you talking about like metaphorically? You
know, yeah, metaphorically, but I had an apartment. I was by myself. And but I had a roommate, but you know what I mean? But in that period, it was a period where I was surrounded by, you know, some people that are around my age because where I was living in, that, you know, were so enamored by my music and my talent. They never put me down about it. They always, yo, this is fire, bro. This is dope, bro. You crazy. You going places. Like, I was always the token rapper. I was that. I was just known. Yo, oh, he makes the music. Oh, he's, it was just like, it was just brought, it was just thrust upon me, like, you know what I mean? So seeing that, it kind of lit a fire in me. Like, I was like, oh man, they reacting like this. These are my people, they reacting like this. I have nothing to offer these people, you know what I mean? But organically, they reacting like this to something that's my dream.
So who's this community that you're talking about, though? Describe me, like, where did you find them? Was it the friends you had around you?
Yeah, right. Man, it was living in Birmingham, Alabama at the time. And, you know, just meeting, just out and about, networking and stuff like that. And
where would you go to, like, network?
Like, showcases and, you know, things like that. You know, DJ pools.
Okay.
That was real big. You know, a lot of DJs, you know, broke my records and stuff like that, or just spent my records. So
Talk to me a little bit about that, because I'm very familiar with the New York culture. I'm very familiar with the Jersey culture. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, you know, you always hear about, like, you know, all this music out there in Atlanta, out there in Georgia, bro. Like, talk to me about, like, what the scene was like there, because I'm sure you're not the only hungry rapper over there.
Yeah, I put it to you like this. It was like, it was a lot of youngs in terms of rap names. Like, you know, like, now it's Lil. And during that time, it was like Young. It's like a lot of Young. It was like Tall T's. And, you know what I'm saying? The fashion was just like, you know, more different. And the approach to records were more, it was like a more energetic hype. More so now is everything is kind of like more melodic, you know what I'm saying? More like the beats are more somber and everything is more singy. But then it was just like, I ride you with a club, I hit you with a bottle, if you know what I'm saying? Just like real violent, real.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm like,
new vibing, because it was like heavy 808s. Like, you can understand why, like, for an artist at the time, it could be difficult to record over there. It was a lot going on in the beat, but she was like trying to find that pocket. And it was like, yo, if I could find a pocket on this, I could, you know, I could find a pocket on any track. Like, I can, you know what I mean? So when I left that situation, I was around that situation, man. I was just like, bro, all gloves off, man. I'm just going to be me. Like, you know what I mean? Whatever is me, that's what they about to get on these records. You know what I mean? And it was a time period where then, like, I was with these people and then nobody saw me. You know what I mean? Because I was locked in that room, like, just either listening to some rap or writing raps. I was just like, yo, I got to get better. So, you know, that obsessive period started. Man, it lasted for a long time, man. It caused me a lot of relationships. You know what I'm saying? I won't lie. Like, and I hear people, like, tell stories about, like, all these successful people or these great people, you know, and they end up, you know, being kind of, like, lonely and stuff like that. In the end, I'm like, yo, it's true, man, because if you want to be the greatest, you know, it's no hard feelings to nobody, but I loved you when I was 15. I remember all, I got great memories together, but, like, if I want to change all of our lives, then I know, like, I'm going to have to sacrifice this time a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
That's actually a very interesting thing that you say that, because before this, actually, you know, just talking about, like, the time, you know, trying to be the greatest, trying to go for things that you love, you know, when you actually love something, you want to pursue it with all your heart. man, it takes up your life, dude. I mean, because it's your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's hard for sometimes people to understand because they're like, "You a rapper, bro?
Yeah.
Well, rapping's your life. Come on, get the job. You know what I mean? And it's like,
I'm at the point where, you know, my grandmother, she had a lot of wisdom. You know what I'm saying? And she raised me, and she would. It was during the time I was getting teased at school a lot. Kids were picking on me. I would go home and just tell her, and she'll be like, I would tell her that they was teasing me, and she'd be like, "Do they know you?" I was like, "Nah, not really. They don't. So why you care then? Why? Why are you allowing these people who don't know your essence, know who you are, know the person that you are inside? Why do you allow them to dictate your reactions, your moves, your emotions? Like, why would you give them that power? I know the person you are. I know that you would give the shirt off your back. I know that you would carry groceries for an old lady or elderly. You know what I mean? I know that about you. I know that you're a hardworking and caring person. That's the person I know. And if they knew that, then they wouldn't, you know, see you in that manner. But she also taught me to stand up for myself and fight. And that's what I'm doing in life. I don't care what the situation look like. I don't care what the status quo is. I don't care what they say it has to be. Who are they? And number one, it's like, okay, are you going to get to press reset and do it again? You're not going to get these times back, bro. You're not going to get to do life again.
That's very true, dude. That's very true, man. And even coming back to your point a little bit too, like, I did this project, right? It was in June. I called it June in Jersey, where I only had Jersey artists, Jersey people. Yo, 30 days, 30 podcasts.
I think I seen that on Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, I was wilding out when I was doing that, dude. I was doing 4 posts a day on Instagram. Mm. I was shooting podcasts like almost every day. Sometimes I'd be shooting 3 podcasts a day.
Yeah.
And then I do all the editing. Yeah. I do all the social media work, thumbtags, everything, stories.
You the guy, bro.
Promo. Yeah, thank you, bro. I appreciate
no
it.
No doubt.
And I was doing this all day in June, and it's crazy because I didn't get to see anybody during that time, dude.
Yeah.
Because I was literally studio work. I was here like early in the morning, getting out like super late at night. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like it made me feel like it was very lonely, dude. Yeah. And it's like it's easy to kind of fall into a depression spiral there for a second.
Right.
Because not only that, sometimes the people who don't understand when they don't see you, they should be giving you like support, you know,
right,
be like, "Yo, I know you're doing, you think you're grinding, we'll talk when you're done," right?
Right.
Instead of like, you know, "Hey, you're not around, bro."
Right.
Like, that's fake. Like, why are you being fake?
Yep.
Like, why aren't you here? Like, you know, and there's things that you miss sometimes that you really want to be at.
Of course.
You know, like, I always give this example, bro, but my niece, I love her to death, man. She was born September 1st last year.
Mm.
And you know, like during June in Jersey, you know, like, during this time, like around her age is when she first starts recognizing faces,
right?
So it's important to start like kind of like, you know, being there and like spending time, and, like, you know, and it sucks because, you know, I'd go home and she doesn't recognize me or something, right?
Yeah.
Or she's nervous and I'm just like, damn, bro. And it hurts your heart deep down inside, but it's like, yo, I need to do this.
Right.
I need to make my business work.
Right.
In order so like when it's like, you know, your 15th birthday, your 16th birthday, I could throw you the craziest party. You know what I mean?
Nah, you got it. You're right, man. And
for sure.
You know, they don't, you know, it's hard for like people to understand if they just not in that element. They just don't see it. You know what I mean? We all faced with our own choices and, you know, got to make our own decisions in life, you know. I will say this. My pursuit of hip-hop and, you know, just my dreams to be a rapper, like, it did, you know, in a way, you know, I had to sacrifice, like, my finances and stuff like that and watch other people kind of advance in life past me, like, dang, man, you know. I'm not a hater, but I'm, you know, you said be real, and, you know, it's just like you go through that. It's like, man, you know, one day I'm buy a house or purchase this and that, and you know, set my family up, you know what I mean? So that's the thing that keep me, you know, pushing. But it's like, you know, I've invested so much, you know, time and money just into like becoming an artist. Every record I put out, you know, except for one, like, I just put out on my own dime. You know what I'm saying?
So talk to me about, so you were in Birmingham, Alabama, bro. You were networking, bro. It's very similar to a lot of stories that I hear of people, you know, who are trying to make it out here and are doing their thing, bro.
Yes, sir.
So where does this lead you to come here to Jersey, or where were you somewhere before Jersey?
Right. Yeah, no, man. You know, it just life happens, man. You know, you just go through personal changes and it just leads you to a place where you're just like, man, I need to go somewhere and that is kind of built and structured, you know what I'm saying, for like what I'm trying to do, like, you know what I mean? And the way I like to do it in terms of just like my style, what's, you know, a place that will appreciate. Like, even though like New York hip hop, the sound has changed a bit, you know what I mean, with like drill rap and stuff like that. It was just like a part of New York that reeled me in was like that golden era, like, you know what I mean? You know, just like Wu-Tang and Nas and Jay, and you know what I'm saying? Tribe Called Quest, you know.
Love Tribe Called Quest.
Man, you know, DMX, man, you know what I'm saying? Busta Rhymes, man, you know, KRS-One, man, Rakim, man, you know what I'm saying? Big Daddy Kane, like, you know, but like Method Man, you know, just like that period was just like, yo, like they putting the words together crazy, man. My big homie would scoop me up, bro, in the green Jeep, man, Cherokee. Shout out to my boy Key, man. He would scoop me up and would just be bumping all this crazy Nas and Jay, man, you know, Lox. It was just like, you know, Puff, you know what I'm saying? Bad Boy and the Family. Oh, it was just everything. Like, all this fire, fire, fire music. Like, it wasn't like I had to convince myself to like it. No radio station had to convince me to like it. It was just like, boom, this is the way I got to make this to pop in terms of just the craft of rap. Not just like, you know, some superstardom, but like getting good at, you know, being a rapper.
Word.
People have to study, so... New York, the spot, man.
Well, I'm still a bit curious. I guess you did answer the question.
Yeah.
It's just curious. It's just very curious because you're not necessarily in New York, right?
You're
in Jersey, yeah.
Man,
right.
All right.
No, you cool.
I left.
You cool.
I know what you mean. Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, man. You know, personal things happen, man. You know, you meet a girl, man. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Kids and, you know, family. So... You know, that's a big component of my life, just family, and you know what I'm saying?
So dope. So how long have you had a kid for?
I have a son and daughter.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really, like, just in my private life, you know, I'm the best, you know, dad, and that's like, you know, now, like, my driving force, you know
of
what
course,
I'm saying?
Of course.
You know, I used to be like one of those parents just like, you know, like always posting my kids on social media and stuff like that. As they get older, I kind of want them to have like their privacy away from that type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And my family, just everybody. So I don't really like put them on the spotlight unless they ask to be, like, you know what I mean? So I like, you know, and just protecting my kids and their image and stuff like that. I'm like, man, you know. Just wait until they ready to, you know, that day to do that type of stuff, man, you know what I'm saying? And just have that light shown on them like that, because everybody, you know, don't want that like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
So
you know, it's actually pretty incredible, because you're not the first person I've had here on the podcast before.
Uh-huh.
Someone who's chasing their dreams and have a kid.
Yes, sir.
I actually had this one guy on here before. Shout out AK-40 Devin.
Yes, sir.
He was talking about it was funny, because before I talked to him, I was telling him, I was like, yo, dude, like, even like I was with this girl, and like, you know, we had a little scare, and you know, and then it was kind of just like, yo, if you would have had that baby, like, my life would have been over.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I iterated to her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, facts.
And after talking with Devin, one of the things he said, he's like, yo, I hate it how people are like, yo, like, you know, when you have a kid, your life is over and this and this and that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's basically just ripping me, right, on the podcast. Right.
Yeah.
And then he's like, the one thing they don't tell you about when you have a kid is that they say that your life starts when your life starts. He's like, nah. He's like, when I had my kids,
yo,
that's when my life started. Because he's like, my purpose, my goals. Yo. Like, even no matter what I was trying to, like, what I'm trying to do now, it is important.
Right.
But, like, they're part of my life force now. Like, they are, like, everything to me.
Right.
So, like, how do you feel like having a kid, you know, like, has impacted what you do now?
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, just to piggyback off, like what you just said, it definitely, you know, opens your mind to the fact that, you know, I want to put them in a far better position than, you know, I was in, you know, as a child, just in terms of just like, you know, places they can go, you know, things they could do, you know, I mean, most of all, like, just like my quality time, just that relationship with me and, you know, like certain stability and things like of that nature. So, I mean, I feel like it gave me definitely a sense of responsibility for sure. Like, you know, anybody know me, I cracked a lot of jokes and I went through, a period of immaturity. Like, I had some behavior issues and stuff growing up, you know what I mean, as a kid. I felt like just anger from certain situations. But fast forward, I think, you know, just the most important thing was, you know, being able to channel that aggression, you know. Mm-hmm. Now I find, you know, I was doing it through music, but now I, you know, am able to become a better person because it's like the person that, you know, I have to become a better person in terms to impart it, you know, on them. But it definitely gives you a sense of, yo, there's no question if I gotta make certain things happen. Like, they definitely gotta eat. I gotta provide, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've struggled, you know, at times to provide, just like, you know, trying to chase a dream, and having to pay for diapers or food or whatever that money would go to, that would be studio money that would go, you know, to that. But at the end of the day, man, life is life, man. I'm not, you know, these are the decisions I made.
For sure, for sure.
So I'm not going to run from those decisions. I have never run, you know what I mean? I don't even make it a thing. Like, you know, I look at life kind of differently in a way from a lot of people. Like, I feel like some people make, what's the saying they say, you know, make something bigger than what it is a lot of times. And I'm like, you know, that's just another thing in my life that I have to put my best foot forward at, you know what I mean? And, you know, I love, you know, my family with all my heart. So I'm going to definitely, if this is the pathway to change their life, then I'm going to give it my all. You know what
I'm saying? For sure, for sure. So what does the balance look like in between this, dude? Because, like,
I got no balance, bro. I'm saying, hey, what? Stop! What? What you think about it? I'm asking. You know what I mean? I'm asking them, like, what you think about this song? And but one thing is, this is the dope part. Like, this is the dopest part. So, you know, Father's Day come around, my son's like, he was in school pre-K, and my daughter was like, third grade. You know what I mean? Had to do those projects, and you just go down the line and write about your dad. Uh-huh. You know, what is your dad? How is your dad? My son said I was 78, you know what I'm saying, or something crazy. But they both got to a part where they said, like, what is your dad good at? Mm. And they both put rapping. So that made my day, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, that's dope, dude. That's dope.
They're like A&Rs in a way. Like, they'll tell you straight up, oh, that sounds good. That's cool. My daughter, like, what's my daughter's word? Cringe. Oh, that's cringe. Like, what is that? What is cringe? But, you know, like, you know, they keep me hip, man, for sure. Like,
that's sweet. You know me though, I remember when I was a kid, they had it was like a bring your parent to school day.
Yes,
right? Yep. Where it was like the parent like talks about like their job and stuff.
Yes.
Dude, I could only imagine being like your son or your daughter and be like,
man, my daughter has used me for clout.
Yeah.
At summer camp. She's like, I pull your videos up on YouTube and I was like, why'd you do that? I wanted to flex. Like, yo, all right, okay.
You use
your dad for clout.
That's dope. Your kids are fans, though.
Kids are stars within their own right. You know what I mean? I won't lie. Kids definitely got spunk. Very intelligent kids. I draw a lot of inspiration from my babies, man. From the time, you know what I'm saying? And you know, shouts out to their mom. Like, she, you know what I'm saying? Like, she dope person too. Like, so they have like shining examples. They got a lot of family, a big village around them. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of allows me to do my thing, and like, you
for
know
sure,
what I mean?
For sure.
It's, you know, everybody got, you know, that got that running joke. Like, yo, shorty, go work. Let me work on my mixtape. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But people don't joke like that with me because, you know, my work ethic, my art, everything is tried and true. Like, you know, it's just like my passion. And when I look at you and talk about my dreams, like, I play around a lot, but I don't play around about this. Like, you know what I'm saying? So they respect it. And I'm just like, yo, do your thing, man. Bring us back a million. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got you. We're going to be on big yachts, big trips, passport stamped up. You know what I'm saying? And I can finally get to pay back everybody that sacrificed and went through with me and was just like really down in them trenches with me. You know what I'm saying?
Lord.
That'd be the drive. That's why, you know, I was, you know, say to your point, you know, my kids, you know, helped me take it to another level because, you know, the look on their faces when, you know, they are able to do just amazing things, man. And I'm going to be right there. It's going to be, you know, give me the chills. You know what I'm saying? Just thinking about it. Because, like, you know, now I'm living for them. Now, you know, I've had my success in life, man. And now it's your turn. You know what I'm saying?
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So I think I got a pretty good image of your life up until this point so far, dude.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit more about your music now, dude.
Okay.
Talk to me a little about your discography. You got quite a discography going on there.
For sure.
Talk to me about your first project, your first real passionate project that you put out.
I always went through, like, you know, rebranding. And, you know, so I would say 2016, you know, it's like I had like a bunch of mixtapes before that. But like, you know, this was like my project where I was like starting to find myself as an artist. It's called the Stephen Darnell Project.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just everything was real raw, even just down to the voicemails from my family members, like interwoven into the album and stuff like that. You know, go from there, fast forward. I'm here, you know what I'm saying? I put out The Rise of Stilo Green.
Okay.
And that was like the project, you know, shouts out my boy Sean Boyd.
Shout out Sean.
I got a lot of love. That's like that first project that was like, you know, Stilo Green is like my alter ego. You know, CeeLo Green is one of my favorite artists, but I was like, I got an alter ego because I definitely come a certain way when I turn into this person, but I got to give him a name. And shouts out to my guy, Jay Casino, out of Kansas City, man. He was like, yeah, man, Stilo Green, like, you know, just playing on my name and just being a crazy artist that's not afraid to push the envelope. That's, you know, that's the best. I would say Stilo is like if Pimp C and ODB was cousins, you know what I mean?
Okay.
You got that marriage. It's like scathing, like, you know, a menace, man. Not afraid to take risks, you know what I'm saying? Manners ain't quite right, you know what I mean? Just that cousin, you know, that one cousin that comes over that, you know, you live in like a rough neighborhood. He got all the Jordans, you know what I'm saying? He got all the drip. And
I know exactly what you're talking about.
He come to your house and get you in trouble because now you're starting to do things that, because he talking you to his peer pressure. Like, he's like, man, stop being scared, man. You know what I mean? I heard that a lot growing up. And so that would be Stilo Green, man. Trap banging, trunk rattling, countries talking, gold, mile wearing.
You know what I mean?
Laid back.
Before we continue with this discography, yes, it's just funny because I'm thinking about it, man, because like It's funny. My background a little bit, man. Like, I didn't really grow up like, you know, crazy hood or anything, but I always grew up around it. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
You know, Patterson around here.
Oh yeah.
It's like the rough area.
Oh yeah.
You know, and you know, my family, that's where we got our starts, you know, first generation immigrants and everything.
Fact.
And then, you know, like my dad growing up, he realized, he was like, yeah, listen, he's like, my son's not gonna do well in these schools out here. He's like, we're just gonna go for broke. I mean, we had a house in Patterson.
Yeah.
We sold it just to get a small apartment in a nicer area. You know what I mean? So I ended up going out to Little Falls, right?
So you see what you just said that your dad did.
Mm-hmm.
Now put yourself in the mind, that's parents, and that's those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Cause now your life is altered because you have to alter somebody else's life. You know what
for
I mean?
Sure.
So what your dad did was alter his life because he had to alter yours. He had to change your trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really it in a nutshell. That thinking make you put your big boy pants on. You know what I mean?
For sure. And it makes me super grateful too. And
it's like, right.
I want to, dude, and it's crazy too because like I still rep Patterson hella, bro. Like I want to get back to the community.
I love Patterson,
man.
I love Patterson for sure.
There's a lot of talent coming out of there, man. Like I just want to give back. I want to put people on, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's funny though because like a lot of my friends, bro, like some hood rats, bro. It's wild.
I am too, bro. We all are, bro. Like, let me tell you something, bro. Like, the artist that I am now, and I like now, you know, I have, you know, a team with my guy, man. Shouts out my guy Aaron, man. You know, I met him in Kansas City, but just his knowledge and his wisdom and his research ability on just music and the vision that we both, you know what I mean, put our heads together and be like, yeah, bro, like, you know, it's time to break out, and like this is who I am. Like, at the end of the day, you know, I know right from wrong, I know what to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's also, like, you know, I'm an entertainer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, of course.
And I shied away from that for a period, but I don't want to shy away from that no more. Like, it's not fake. It's not an act. It's really who I am inside that I try to suppress. That's why I named that project The Rise of Stilo Green, because I knew something was brewing in me that, you know what I'm saying, I'm a dog, man. I'm a dog in the booth. I'm like Jerry Rice. I'm Randy Moss. Like, I'm Deion Sanders. I'm Bo Jackson. Like, I'm a dog.
Yeah, and it definitely
Chad Johnson. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It definitely comes off in your music too. The you know what's funny though? The question that I was kind of like tiptoeing around though, I want to ask if you have any stories because I was gonna share a story with you.
Go ahead.
One of my boys, bro. Shout out. I'm not gonna put his name out there because I don't want to put him on blast. But when he's listening to this, you know I'm talking to you. Bro, it's mad funny because he would always, like, you know, like, you know, like you said, you always had that one cousin, you always had that one boy.
Yes, sir.
And that's my brother, bro. That's my brother. Right. And you know what I mean? Like, wherever we do something, like, you know, we get in it together, right?
Right.
And it was always a problem, man. Like, even, like, we'd walk into the liquor store just for, like, some candy, you know, like, we, like, 16, 17, you know, getting a water bottle, getting Arizona's, right?
Yeah.
And he'd walk in there, he'd start a commotion the second he walk in there, right? And I'd just be like, damn,
man. Loose cannon.
Yeah,
man.
And I can't bring him nowhere. And I never forget, bro, we first got our provisionals, right?
Yeah.
To just to drive, but with someone in the car, right?
Oh.
Right. The second he gets that, bro, yo, he pulls up. He's like, yo, get in the car. I'm like, yo, bro, you're not supposed to drive alone. He's like, I don't give a fuck. We're gonna get slushies from Quick Check or whatever.
Wow.
I was like, all right, we got slushies from Quick Check, right? We driving. We're having a good time. We picked up another cousins that we have there rocking in the back. We're all rocking the music.
Yes,
it's
sir.
An old like 1991 Jetta, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So we just and the speakers are all blown out, right?
Yeah.
So the bass sounds crazy, right? It sounds like paper plates that are shaking.
Yes,
right?
sir.
So we're chilling in there, and my boy's like, yo, you know when your boy just get a look in his face like he's about to do something fucked up, and y'all know y'all gonna have to run. Y'all know y'all gonna have to run. Bro, this man, we're driving, right?
Yeah.
He looks at me and he's like, yo, watch this. And I'm like, what? And he had a full like 32 ounce, you know, like full with the Quick Check slushy.
I see
what
he's going. I can see what
he's
going.
He threw it out the window.
Wow.
And it hit the other car that was oncoming, right? It hit the whole windshield. Blue. Dude, I'm not gonna lie, dude. In the moment, that shit was the funniest thing I'd ever seen, bro. I was laughing, dude. I was dying, bro, because I was like, yo, like that's fucked up. That's fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
What was more fucked up is that when we kept driving, right? We were driving this old Jetta, and I'm dying because I'm like, yo, I'm dying but having anxiety at the same time, dude, because I was like, yo, I'm not rocking with this, right? Dude, on his back view mirror, I could see The car made a complete 180,
wow.
dude. Complete 180, and that thing was on our ass, bro. And here we are, like, four 16-year-olds.
Scared to death.
Scared to death, bro. Just running through these streets, bro. And he's like, yo, I got us the word. And I'm over here like, bro, we going to jail, bro. It's over. Like, I'm being dramatic, bro. I'm like, yo, we going to jail. It's over. He's like, nah, I got us. And I don't know what it is about him, bro. And I don't know what it is with people who be doing this, bro. But sometimes they just be getting away with shit.
Yo.
He hit this one turn, bro.
Yeah.
And he hit the turn, parked. And you just see the car, like, whiz keep by. Looking, whip by. But he didn't see us, right?
On some TV.
Yeah, some TV shit. And we just sitting there all of the... And then, like, my boy... And you know, bro, you know he's on some real hood rat tendencies when he's just like, yo, y'all trying to run that back?
Nah.
I was like, nah, I'm not trying to run that back, bro. Drop me off home,
let me out. Like, on Boys in the Hood, though. Let me out, man.
So what I was going to ask, bro, you have any, like, story, anything like that, bro? Because I know, like, sometimes it'd be wild. Like,
man...
Can't tell you how many street fights I've been seeing.
Yeah,
bro.
So many street fights. Yeah, man. Man, it's so many, bro. So much. I can't even really. I can say that what you just described, though, while you was talking about it. Mm-hmm. One thing I can say that I always wanted to, like, provide the soundtrack for that. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted to be that music that was, like, coming through those busted speakers, cause like that's what we was listening to when we was, mm-hmm. you know, out and about, man. Like, but I had so many of those times, bro. But I remember like going to jail, like,
damn,
for the first time, man. My guy, man, we chill, like, you know, it was like I got in a fight with this guy, man. It's like,
and how old were you about?
Like 20.
Okay,
20. Y'all, okay. Like 20. Yeah. But it was just like, I was in college, man, and like we had this strip. It was like bars. It's like, you know, bars.
And this is all in Montgomery?
Nah, this is in Missouri, man.
Oh, it's Missouri. Okay,
you know what
okay,
I'm saying? It was weird. It was a weird time, but like, you know, so we hanging out with young college students, hanging out, man. Mm-hmm. And my guy, CJ, he with me. Mm-hmm. CJ gonna see this, and cause it's gonna come together, like, you know what I mean, in the story. But it's big, yo. Brolic dude, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Walk up to me, I'm on the street, like, you know how you just chilling, somebody walk up to you and like tap you on the chest, like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe I overreacted, but I'm like, yo, like, he was like kind of intoxicated too, so he was like, yo, what's up, man? I was like, yo, bro, like, you know, I was like, yeah, I know him, like, you know what I'm saying? Just going through that whole, you know, that whole spiel, and it's like, nah, we cool, man, you know, we. So we moved to a different spot. Like, lo and behold, like, you know what I'm saying? He there too. So it was just like, all right, this guy, like, you know, he was like, dang, is he trying to, like, you know, start something? Like, mm-hmm. it's like one of those type of situations. Cause it was a lot of law enforcement out, and you know, it's like one of those spots, like, you know, you don't want to like be too loud,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. So go across the street, follow across the street, you know what I'm saying? So, this is a big guy, man. You know, mind you, I think he was, like, on the wrestling team at the school and stuff like that. So, I'm like, yeah, man, you know, you definitely want no problem, like, you know, or whatever. But, dude, like, you know how people, you know, drunk people, they get in your face and stuff like that. I wasn't drunk, though. Like, I wasn't drinking at the time.
Were you wavy?
No, I wasn't. I was sober. We just had, like, just got there. It was like, you know, at that time, man, it was more so just about, like, getting on girls. We wasn't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We wasn't even thinking about, like, so it was, that part was going to come. You know, we wasn't trying to start no beef or nothing like that. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But, man, this dude got in my face. So my reaction just, like, to push him out, I was like, oh, man, what I, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, dang, I wasn't even thinking. Like, in that moment, so... My guy just rushes me, bro. Like, my guy, CJ, is right there. A couple other people. He's like, oh, man, this guy. My guy rushes me. So I'm like, yo, man, like, all I can think is, like, just don't allow, bro, to, you know, end up on top of the fight. Like, pause. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Y'all go hard in Missouri then, man. Yo, pause, but I mean.
Yo, but it's like. Somehow, bro, like, you know, and I've been to a lot of fights as a shorty, and I, and, you know, I'm not finna, like, ain't Floyd Mayweather. I did not have a perfect record. You know what I mean? I took my lumps, you know what I'm saying? But in that environment we grow up in, you're going to fight. Your testosterone and everybody's just like, everybody want to test you. You know what I mean? I think it was J. Cole that even wrote a song about that growing up. Like, you know, you don't want to be embarrassed. So you like, what's up then? You know what I'm saying? Your manhood, your pride, man.
Yeah,
so,
dude.
This dude rushed me, bro. Like, by this time, I'm frustrated already. So, like, he rushed me and somehow, like, you know, just ended up doing a move where I had the upper hand. And all I could think was just like, you know, just punch. And don't stop punching, because if you stop punching, he's going to get up and he's going to, you know, knock your head off or whatever.
That's that adrenaline too, man. I can imagine.
Man, I'm going. I'm going. I'm just fighting. I'm really punching for my life because I don't want to, you know what I mean? But I'm like, yo, this, you know, I'm just going. And like my guy CJ, you know, I saw his foot. I think he jumped in. And like, bro,
that's a real one. That's a real one too.
Yo,
it's a real one.
Yeah, story gets better. Story gets better. I never forget this story. This night, it was like, it had to be like 1,500 people out there. You know what I mean? Everybody looking, it's going down. It's really going down. I got CJ. He can vouch for me. Man, so I'm like, oh man, you know, like somebody grabbed me. I think I thought it was like one of his people that like that was helping him, like, you know, to help him fight. I just grabbed somebody, tugged me, and then, you know, I kind of, you know how you kind of like turn around. Man, it was the police, man. I was like, I didn't know. Like, I was just in the moment, bro. Like, it was the police, bro. Like, and I got a scar right here. I got this scar right here on my elbow, like where they picked me up and just like slammed me on the sidewalk. I mean, at the time, bro, I was like buck 40, 50, soaking wet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still got the scar to this day, like where they. So now, not only is this bleeding profusely like crazy, they mace me. I get maced.
Oh, fuck,
it's like point blank range, bro. Point blank, bro. I can't see. My face is felt like somebody just took a torch and just, you know, like lit me up, bro. I can't see. It's just like tear, like, you know, just, you know, a bunch of like watery eyes, and you just like can't hardly breathe. And it's like, bro, I'm bleeding and maced and just cuffed and, you know, being drug out in front of all these people.
That's crazy.
White
bro.
People, mind you, because the school was like predominantly white. And they just like, oh, looking like, oh my God, like, you know what I mean? It was a white boy too. I was fighting too at the same time. And it was just like, everybody like, oh man, bro. Like my guy, like, bro, you okay? My guy, my big homie Key, he was like, bro, you good? Like, I can't see. And then my guy CJ, album coming soon.
Yo, CJ, you're a real one. Yo, you're a real one, CJ.
Shout out my guy CJ, bro. KC, man. Album coming soon. Album coming soon. No cap. No cap, bro. No cap. It went down just like that. All you see is police sirens, album coming soon, face burning, bloody. This guy, you know, he throw him in the cell, book, all that, bro. My face still burning. Water doesn't help. Mace, like, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I kind of stayed in there overnight. I had to go to court. They charged me for, like, what's it called, public affray. You know what I'm saying? I saw that dude in court with me, next to me. And, you know what I'm saying? He had one of those little things, bandaged across strips across his nose.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, I felt pretty good that I did that. You know what I mean? I was like, well, it was worth it in the end. When I saw him walk in with that thing on his nose, I was like, yeah.
Take the dub where you can, man.
Yeah, bro. I kind of looked at the judge, looked at him like, all right, it's cool. I paid a fine. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? It was cool. I never forget that. But, you know, I definitely, you know, learn from that moment and, you know, just try to stay out of trouble. I matured a lot since then, man. At that time, I was, like, Tupac-esque. Like, my attitude, I was Bishop. You know what I mean? I still feel, you know, a bit of Bishop from Juice, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that thing, every black male go through that, you know, period of frustration. And, you know, it was during that period, you know, what I didn't really have, like, the emotional intelligence to really just, like, you know what, man, go to a whole different scene, you know. I should have stayed at the scene, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, bro, like, all that shit, man.
I struggle with that emotion, like, you know, just, you know, what they say, light skin, being light skin, man. You know, you get mad, you have quick temper, like, you know what I mean? I struggle with anger issues and stuff like that from just dealing with childhood traumas and or things of that nature. But, you know, as I'm growing and, you know what I'm saying, I got my kids to, like, you know, help be, like, therapy and, you know what I'm saying, grow up out of that and just, like, okay, now I can provide a certain lifestyle for you that you don't have to, like, feel this, you know what I mean?
Word, of course.
You know what I'm saying? So,
did you ever try to see a therapist or anything like that?
Man, bro, I really just told somebody today that, you know, I want to do it, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you, bro, it changes your life, man.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not even going to hold
costs,
you.
It costs, though, man. That's
it does cost, bro. It does cost, you know.
Yeah, y'all rich people can see a therapist, bro. Like, yo, black people just got to call grandma. Like, what you think? What you think I should do?
I'm still under my dad's insurance, bro. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get off, man. Like, to be honest. But, like,
get your own insurance. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah, but I don't know if that insurance. My dad's a teacher, bro. So, you know, he got the hookup.
Yeah, man. But, yeah, now you're going to have your own hookup, man. You know, get your, man.
But I've been seeing a therapist now, like, consistently for at least 4 years, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this is pretty therapeutic for me right here, man.
Yeah, dude, of course. I think it's always just great to talk and get your emotions out, you know, and I really see my therapist. I don't know if you're spiritual at all.
Yes, sir. But, That's the period, too, I went through. I don't know, you know, I was going to touch on that.
Yeah, dude, of course. You know what I'm saying? Of course, yeah. But, I mean, I was about to say, like, my therapist feels like my third eye, you know what I mean? Because, like, when I'm, like, you know, you're going to always ask your friends, your family, you know what I mean? But your friends and family, sometimes, like, whether you like it or not, they're going to have their own perspectives and their own, like, you know, like certain opinions on other people when you ask them for advice. Gotcha. You know, my therapist, love him to death, he don't give a fuck about none of my friends. He'll just tell me straight up, you know what I mean?
He's like,
yo, your friend, you know, you might have known him for 15 years, but
you gotta let him go.
That man robbed you. But talk to me about it. So your mind has gone into a spiritual place, you know, has that affected your music?
I've been in that place for, you know, say like 2012. Mm-hmm. I'll just say this, like, growing up in the South, you know, you're gonna go to church, where I'm gonna crack that Bible open, you know what I'm saying, for you. And, you know, teach you, you know what I'm saying, teach you about God, you know what I mean? Just, you know, just really sit you down and just understanding the importance of that. So, you know, I always just keep God first and just always had a reverence for God. And it was a period where it was really, like, just embedded in my music, you know what I mean? My faith still isn't, I still am open about my faith, you know, throughout my music. It's just definitely one of the things that's my makeup, you know, like, my most recent project, Larger Than Life.
Yes.
You know, if you heard that, it's definitely, you know, those elements that's interwoven in there, and just, you know, just being open about talking about God and, you know, where he brought me from, what he brought me through, you know what I'm saying? My struggles, even, you know, choosing the right thing or the wrong, you know what I mean? Just getting caught up in that still. But at the end of the day, the place I'm at musically is just, like, just raw. Like, you know, like my latest single I put out, I Wonder Why, the cover art is just like this cotton plant, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I want to tell a story, you know, of how I'm in this position, man. You know, why I struggled for a long time with nothing financially, you know what I'm saying? Why I could not get this certain thing as a child, or, like, why, you know, systematically, you know what I mean, my opportunity is not, you know, being given to me. But I realized that, you know, my people had made it through a scathing trip, you know what I'm saying, through the Middle Passage. Like, whoever my ancestor is, like, for me to be what I am sitting right here right now, like, you know, somebody from that bloodline made it through, you know, disease, you know, suicide thoughts, you know, just abuse at every level, you know what I'm saying? And to now be at this point, it was just like, ain't holding back no more. Like, now I'm just at this place of just raw hip hop, banging tracks, you know what I'm saying? And from now on, it's just gonna be some out the box thinking, you know, smack you in the mouth, right in your face, you know what I mean? Over grimy beats, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, dude.
Nah, I definitely feel, bro. You know, I think actually, you know, if you're comfortable, you know, can we go straight into the freestyle and then I ask you a couple more questions? Does that sound good? Does that sound like a plan?
Hey, man, I'm down for what you're down for. This your show, bro.
I bet,
this
bro.
This show, bro.
Yeah, I'm a face for it, man. Let me grab my phone.
My God.
We'll do a quick, just a rerun of the beat.
Yes, sir, man. Play that thing, bro. What we got?
How does that sound for you, okay?
A little bit more volume in there, man. And I'm on.
Let me give some.
Darnell, Stephen Darnell. Gaunt Town representative. You already know how we get down. New perspective. Aaron, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Whoa. Shouts out my guy Key. CJ, I see you said, what's up? Yeah. Yo. One for all time, I put away that madness. Sniper in the booth, better believe I got that ratchet. Feel like Clay and Steph, fast brother, I be smashing. NBA coaches hit my line, they be asking. Every time you shoot it, I be out of my mind. Think it's safe to say I really think you one of the ones. All my homie know the deal, haters envy me. Man, I do it for the mama, swiping EBT. Living governmental housing. Glory to the Lord, till the day I see my eyelids. I'ma keep on climbing. Pull up in that ghost, make a hater need the Heimlich. Crazy, psychotic, don't know where my mind went. Alabama find it. Always been ahead of my time, so they rewind it. Feel like ill again, your pressure be making diamond. Feel like ill again, got me stranded on the island. Tell me where my mind went. Hands up, cause I'm one of the one. Many people knew my name way before I was born. I done wrapped around the building, Jefferson seen me perform. Now I'm prophecy fulfilled, less I'm fresh air one. Yeah, hey, light us up, cause I'm one of the one. Set that money like LeBron, fly the jet to Milan. Heard they bet against the kid, look at what I become. Now I'm prophecy fulfilled, less I'm fresh air one. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, let's go.
Yo, look like one, you know.
Boy, my boy, let's go, let's go.
You know how we rocking, bro, Bama, dog.
Damn, bro. Let's go, bro. Let's go, bro. Yo, round of applause for my boy fucking Steven.
I appreciate
bro.
You, my guy.
I could never. You the second person now. Yeah. Shout out to you, second person to shoot a freestyle on the podcast, man. That's fire, bro. That's fire. Making history in the making, bro.
Yes, sir.
Bro, talk to me then now, bro, because I've been listening to your music, man. I've been listening to your Spotify. I've been catching up with what you are and what you're about, man.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me a little bit about this process that you got. What's going through your mind when you're writing lyrics, when you're freestyling, bro? Like,
yeah, man. You know, much like the greats, man, in sports, like, you know, I study like a dog. Like, you know, when I say study, like, study the greats, study the ones before me, man. You know, the people I look up to, and just I really tune in, I really lock in, and like, you know, chords, patterns, or like, you know, cadence, vibes, just, you know, just really soaking up game, you know, man, through records, like, to the point that, you know, it's like a cornerback that's wanting to make it to the NFL, he's going to study Deion Sanders, you know what I mean? A wide receiver is going to study Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, or, like, you know, Hooper going to study Jordan, you know what I mean? Like, Kobe studied Jordan. Like, I be, you know, my work ethic is so crazy. Like, you know, I study these people the same way Kobe, you know, rest in peace, Kobe. Like, the same way Kobe studied Jordan, you know what I mean? Same way Jordan probably studied, you know, Dr. J and, you know, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, like, these people that came before him, like, you study moves, like, how you do that? Why you do it? Because I want to know, because, you know, this my bag, but I want my bag to be deeper, because, you know, you can have a bag and rap, and you add things to your game, and I think because I was an athlete coming up, the process I take towards music is like an athlete, you know what I mean? How to prepare, like, even preparing for this, like, you know, it's just like, get my mind right, locked in, you know, because I take my craft seriously, and I'm a dog, you know, I'm competitive. I don't want to be, you know, showing up, And so the approach to the music comes from the place where those, you know, that childhood trauma, or like remembering the time somebody told me I couldn't, or somebody played me, or, you know, it happens a lot when you're trying to be an artist. You get scammed a lot. You know, you're trying to, you know, learn how to move in a room full of vultures and whatnot. But
damn, isn't that the truth, bro?
That's real. Like, it's, yeah, it's, and real. You know, and if you a pure-hearted, kind-hearted person, like, you know, that can kind of get taken advantage of. But, you know, I had to figure out a way to, you know, just create this person that, you know, wasn't going to be as kind-hearted or as, you know, naive, you know what I'm saying? And that bleeds into my music today. Like, I always knew, even as a child, that I was different and that I was going to do something big. And, you know, I'm going to do it big. Like, I got to figure it out, because I know it's a certain following that you're supposed to have, you know, before a label signs you. And, you know, and I'm just like, man, it's crazy. Like, that's all I can think about now. It's like, how to, you know, organically, like, create that so I could move on to the next phase of my dreams. You know what I'm saying?
It's a little bit difficult for sure, because, you know, I feel like, you know, even what I'm doing now with the podcast and what I have other people doing, and the artists that I've seen, like, you know, doing their thing. And I think researching your peers, researching your environment, super important. And and I think the most successful, we'll say successful in quote, because I mean, it's subjective, but I think the most successful artists that I see are building small communities around them.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Mm-hmm.
And it's, sometimes it's hard to have a community that you really tap into, because you got to regularly tap in.
Yeah.
You got to make sure, like, you're speaking, you got some dialogue, and the people's lives who are you changing with the music, the people who really are feeling what you're speaking through, you know, is important. But what I found interesting about your music is that, like, you know, it does feel a little old school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call myself a rapper.
Yes, sir.
I'll call myself more of like a poet.
Yeah.
Even though my boy Samad Savage might disagree, my boy. But you know, I actually feel most comfortable. If anybody told me to rap or anything like that, love a good boom bap beat. You know what I mean? I love an old school type beat.
For sure.
But in a generation right now where we got, you know, trap is killing it. You know what I mean? You got Jersey Club now. You know, club music's killing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What adversity do you find your music? Like, what is the biggest things you could say that, you know, you find you're struggling with when you're creating music and really getting it out to people?
I would say, like, sometimes the biggest struggle is not really sonically. You know what I mean? I would say it's just, like, finding, you know, just that next level, you know, production where you don't always have to, like, you know, use something or, you know, listen to something that, you know, somebody else has heard, you know, a million times or whatever. But I think, you know, the most important thing for me now in terms of just the creative process and making a project and making music is working with producers that, you know, I have a relationship with. I could readily reach out to.
Mm-hmm.
We can easily handle the business acumen of it all, and, you know, create something organically. I look at it like, if you go to a buffet and, you know, what you want to eat, the food that's just been sitting under the heat lamps, you know what I'm saying, forever, or do you want something fresh? And I think, you know, that's really where I'm at right now. It's just like all my creative, you know, all my music, everything like that, I really just want just fresh ideas, man. You know what I mean? Just wherever it sounds like, let's put it together. You know, like, so I put myself on a path where I actually slowed up from doing music until I got that part right. You know what I mean? And now, you know, I'm finally connecting with, you know, some producers who's like, oh, here you go, check this out. And these are dope guys, because mad producers hit you up on the regular. Mm-hmm. And then you listen to it, it's like, man, in Jay-Z's, you know, Black Album documentary, it's like this process he show where he's listening to hundreds and hundreds of beats, and he's like, yo, this process is just like, you know, it's just a process. Then he, you know, he gets to a period where him and Guru call, like, you know, like the magic moment, like where you find the right beat, like he came across like public service announcement, like, and he was just like, you know, you take the right artist and the right producer, right track, you crack the door and you let God in, you know what I mean? Mm. And that's when the magic happened. I'm not going to rap on mid. The production is like pretty much where I start. It's got to be like, I want sometimes, you know, like that production that has a conversation with you. It tells you, you know, sometimes like what it should be about. Like, yo, you should say this song, you know what I'm saying? So as a rapper, as an artist, you've pursued this for so long. You've done it for so long that I'm not going to say I'm Jay-Z and Lil Wayne because, you know, these are my goats in terms of this part. But, you know, a lot of artists, we don't write, like, you know what I mean? Have to write it down all the time, you know. I like to write because I just, you know, like that process and, you know, for a record or whatever. But every record doesn't have to be written down, you know what I mean? It's a way you can go in the studio and it's just like, you know, fresh thoughts. You know what I mean? It's just...
No, I get it. Actually, this is a process, too, that I was kind of opened up to, especially in the past couple of years, you know, working with artists and yeah. different, like, methods. And that's why I asked, too, you know, like, I was like, what's your writing process like? Uh-huh. You know, what's it like being in the studio? Because I know people who come in here and they just have the producer with them mm-hmm. and then just like, yo, we're going to spend this studio time writing it down. Rather than, you know, it's funny, when I used to be... in Hip Hop Collective.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we were just like, yo, we need to make sure we have everything right.
Yeah.
So then when we're paying for studio time, we can use it to record.
No, I still, you know, go by that. You know what I mean? I'm always go by that. You know, I'm about my business when it comes to, you know, making records. You know, I'm always going to be free thinking and creative because I've changed lines of songs, you know, on the spot. If you don't like it, you're gonna say something different. That's just mm-hmm. natural. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But I learned from that boot camp years to always be prepared as an artist.
Oh, yes.
I feel like that's even why it was even referred, you know what I mean, to you by my guy, because he knows that, you know, every video shoot, I've always showed up on time. I always showed up ready to work. I always, you know, knew my stuff. I approach it like, you know, Michael Jordan would approach a game or you know, basketball, like, you know what I'm saying? Kobe, like, I learned from just people growing up, you know, to always be prepared. I don't let anything now box me in creatively, you know what I mean? Like, I just do whatever, like, I feel. I really want to push the envelope. You know, I look up to like Kanye West a lot, man. You know, I really, really respect how he's never been afraid artistically. Like, you know, I was that kid on the porch, like watching, you know, oh man, like I want to jump off the porch and do this and do my voice like this. And, you know, with like, you know, the emergence of artists like Kendrick Lamar and coming along, mm-hmm. J. Cole's coming mm-hmm. along, he was doing a lot more singing, Lil Baby, and, you know, it opened the door for artists to just kind of like be a bit more free flowing creatively. And, you know, but I'm about them bars though, you know, nevertheless. And, you know, I get a different satisfaction from, you know, actually like, you know, just penning it, like, you know what I'm saying? Like reading, just going over it like a billion times. Like, cause like once I write it down one time, like it's locked in, you know, for life, because I've just sat there in that room for hours and hours and hours, just like, yo, I want to be a rapper, man. I want to make it so bad. And I thought that was a period where that would waver in my life at some point. And here I am now, to this day, still feeling the same way and frustrated. Like, man, I can't wait to get that shot. Like, you know, just so I, even though I wasn't like, you know, signed to a major label, like I always had like that mindset to, you know, just always be prepared. You never know, like, when your chance gonna come. You know what I mean?
That is very true.
You don't know who's gonna be at the studio that day you go to record, and like you ain't ready, like the show moment. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The moments don't come like they moments like come far in between. You know what I mean? And it's like when that moment come, you just gotta be ready to. You know what I'm saying?
For sure, tackle it.
But shouts out to my team. Shouts out my bro. Like, you know.
So talk to me a little bit about your team then. So you got a team now? So actually what I wanted to get like, to.
The couple, it's like one or two people. Like,
no, it's cool. Listen, like you don't have to like, you know, like downplay anything. Bro,
right.
Like,
nah, I feel you.
For sure. Yeah. Like, you know.
But it's a big, we come together like, man, we really understand, you know, how to, we understand how to approach it. Like, I have went through a period of like kind of like rebranding in a sense and just taking a step back and just, you know, analyzing my game and my brand and the process, and like, because we do have to be real with ourselves, like, man, why am I not, you know, at this point when, and I was like, you know, frustrated things because I rap good that, you know, I should be at a certain point, but now taking a step back, I realized that, you know, that, you know, that's not the case at all. And once I took a step back and I looked at my brand and a lot of stuff I had going on, I was like, man, that's not gonna work. You know what I mean?
So where are we at now? Like, what is the plans for how you're gonna make shit work?
I'm a menace, dog. I'm a straight up menace, dog. I get it. Like, you know, it's like you seen TV shows when the light bulb like come on top of the head. Yeah. Like, that's where I'm at right now. I don't have regrets. The only thing I would say, like, yo, if I knew this, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If I knew what I know now, and I would say I just had a lot of pride, man, a lot of times, and, you know, wouldn't listen, you know, felt like I knew it all. So that's why, like, you know, just having this situation now, you know, open my eyes and it's like, okay, yo, allow somebody else to, like, you know, kick ideas and, you know what I'm saying?
Collaborate.
Okay. Yeah, collaboration, and that's the thing. It's just like, you can let your traumas from childhood make you, like, not want to work with anybody, and you try and do everything on your own. You're feeling like you got to be independent, and you trying, but, you know, everything is not done the right way. But it's like now, you know, like, I feel like I'm in a space where I actually have direction, like real vision. I know what I want and how to go about it.
So what is that direction and what is that vision now?
Now it is more so, I would say, just playing into, you know, just who I am, really, my roots, you know, sonically. Being a Southern artist, you know what I mean, that grew up on UGK and 8-Ball, and not be afraid to use my voice to say, you know, just, you know, wild out a little bit, let my hair down, so to speak, in terms of just expanding my palette sonically, you know, fashionably, you know, more things I want, you know, more designers, you know, I want to get into, and, you know, just being ingratiated into, like, the culture of hip-hop, and just taking, you know, taking just how I really feel inside to another level. Like, you know, because you could, in an art, as an artist trying to make it, you could fall into a space like, you know, I need to make, you know, the right sounding records to be put in this space.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm not in that space. It's like, you know, you ever seen an episode of Power Rangers where, like, Tommy is, like, being taken over by Rita? He's a bad green one.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a bad person, but I'm a dog on menace on record. And, like, now I want that energy to come off, like, you know, with that sound, that grimacing sound, just, like, you know what I mean?
Yo, you know what's funny, though? I've been noticing, though, in your records, like, you don't really curse too much. Like, you don't...
Yo, for real? Nah, I'm messing with you. Nah. A lot of people point that out, man. To me, it's like not something like I lead with, or just like using it. Like,
I don't think it's a bad thing. Right, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think it is interesting to bring up because, you know, like, funny enough, like I'm a very I got a potty mouth a little bit.
I'm not gonna lie.
I do curse a lot, but that's mostly just because like sometimes it's easy just to emote, you know, using the four letter
word. I'm not saying that, you know, I don't say it or I don't have my moments. I just, you know, when I make the records, like I was just choosing to leave it out because before, like, I was trying to get on the radio and I didn't have like the time or the finances to get the edited version. You know what I mean? So I'm like, man, this is slowing me up. So I just make it like this anyway, and you know what I'm saying, I could just pass it off, and you know, and that turned into just like also just coming into my faith and just wanting to say certain things or wanting to be seen in a certain light. And I don't know, man. It's just like a lot of internal things, decisions why, you know, I just chose to take that approach. But, I mean,
for sure.
I don't know, man. I never leave with it. It's not like something that I want to be my identity.
You know what I mean? You know, I just thought it was a peculiar thing.
I don't want to be like, I'm not one of those people to turn my nose up at anything anybody got going on or how they say stuff or what they do, because I got my own faults. I got my own shortcomings. You know what I'm saying? That right there is just, you know, merely a decision I made for my own self, not, you know, pushing that off on another grown man or, you know, a woman or whoever listen to my music. You know, I do enjoy the fact that I know it can be played anywhere by anybody, you know what I'm saying, at any point in time.
There's definitely big ups to that.
Because it has been, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, I could, like, credit, you know, that approach for that. But, you know, I'm still able to get my content off how I want, you know, without it. Like, you know, I even noticed, like, Jay, he got to a period in his career where he kind of, like, did it less. Also, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the bar still, like, you know, skating.
Still hit, you know?
Double on, triple entendre still going flip-flopping, you know what I'm saying?
You can't deny when something's fire.
Yeah, man.
You know, we are coming pretty close to the end of the podcast, but I do have a couple more questions for you, if that's cool with you.
That's cool, bro.
I bet.
No doubt.
I really wanted to talk about something that I think all artists and I think anybody who's performed, like, really dies for.
Yeah.
Which is getting up on that stage.
Yes, sir.
Can you talk to me about one of the first times you went to perform and how that was and where you be performing now?
Yeah. First place, I really can... Man, it's weird, man, because, like, growing up in the black community, bro, like, and I know in my household, you kind of get your first taste of performing in the living room for your mom's company, your grandma's company. They'll call you in there, Stick, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do that that one, you know what I mean? Sing that one song, rap that. So getting up in front of people, start early. You don't overcome the shyness of it. And even like my first performance, it was like in Kansas City, I think it's like a hip hop show. And I just remember not looking up the whole time. Like, it was just like looking at the floor. Like, I was rapping it, but I just had no confidence to, like, move around and look up. And I just started doing it. I got an opportunity to do it more and more. But just never, you know, at first overcoming, like, that confidence issue. Like, you know, man, it's a nerve-wracking thing to get up in front of, like, strangers, complete strangers in rap, an original thought. But, you know, just having a bad performance changed, you know, everything after that. After I had that bad performance, I never performed the same again after that. It was like, that changed my whole perspective, like, on performing that night. You know what I'm saying?
So what was the most latest performance you've had? And how was that, like, how's the exhilaration, like, today?
The latest, what's the last show I did? I think it's like a month ago.
Word.
Yeah, but, you know, this the period, like, when you are, you know, trying to just, like, make a way as an artist. Like, the bookings and all that come far in between. Like, I'm not finna sit here and lie, like, I'm just booked up. Because, you know, if you want to perform, you have to, like, just seek out kind of, like, you know, showcases, open mics, or like these type of events to, you know, be able to get up on stage. But it's difficult because it's just like you investing money into something and then they want you to invest money into that. And I was just like, I've been doing that. I did that so many times. And, you know, I just got to a period and just, you know, talking with my team, it's just like, it's just going to build up to get to the point of being booked, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody knows me. I got video footage. I got people to vouch for me. Mamba mentality when it comes to performing me, like, I've done, like, you know, thousands and thousands of times I can recall hearing somebody call my name to the stage to grab the mic to perform. Because I sought out to do it as much as I could. I looked for these places. You know what I mean? Google everything. Just to show up, just to get on the mic. So, and even in my own private time, I rehearse in the mirror. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just want to be the best. Like, man, I really, like, cannot deny the fact that I really do want to be one of the greatest rappers of all time. And it's disheartening to me that, you know, I can't get the opportunity that I know I need for that. You know what I mean? I really would, people otherwise would try to convince themselves like, yo, man, you know, maybe it's a far reach. And, you know, to make yourself feel more at peace, don't achieve to be one of the greatest of all time. Don't achieve this lofty goal no more, because now you won't be as depressed and crying, or, you know what I mean, or sad. But for, you know, for who I am, like, I can't tell myself that. Like, plus the actuality is, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. Like, I want to be this, and I want to be one of the greatest to ever do it. I just had to, I have to figure out how to maneuver, how to get it in front of the right people, like, or some type of way, you know what I mean? Like,
for sure, for sure.
Tupac did an interview, and he was just like, you know, you just imagine, you know, you starving, and you look in this room, and people got all this food, salami everywhere and everything, and then you singing this song, "We are hungry, please let us in." We are, you know, nobody's paying attention, nobody letting you in. So, you know, a week go by, you still hungry, and you see all this food, and you just see the bling, bling, you just, everybody up in there shining, bellies full, everything, and it's just like, that song turned from like, "We are," to "We are hungry, please." You know what I'm saying? It's a little bit more rougher. So now it's like, you see all the food, and, you know, a couple weeks go by, about a month go by, you starving, and that song turns up, I'm blasting through the door, you know, kicking, you know what I'm saying? "We're hungry, let us in." That's where I'm at as a rapper right now. Like, I done rapped about why I'm a starving artist and can't get on and blah, blah, blah. Like, those days, I'm rapping on why I'm one of the greatest of all time. Let you know, like, sometimes the humble, you know, guy needs to be tucked away for a second. Like, you know what I mean? To, in this type of competitive sport we call rap, for you to shine, you have to, you know what I'm saying? You got to let them hang a little bit. Like, you know
what
I mean?
For sure, for sure, for sure.
You got to. And, like, I know it's people that love me one way, or people that know me personally don't get it, but I'm just like, you know, you got to poke your chest out and let them hang as an artist. You can't be tucked in the shell your whole life forever. Like, you know what I mean? You got to break out, and that's where I'm at. Like, I'm busting in with the 404. I need it now. I don't care. With you know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I'm at with it. And because I've heard that same statement be made to me so many times, I'm tired of hearing it, where, you know, I'll be, you know, chopping it up with an A&R or something like that. And they're like, "Yeah, I played your music for the label," and they just say, "Just want to see more community build up. You want to see, you know, your following build up." And I just hear that all the time. Like, you know, I'm sick of hearing that, bro. Like, I don't care what's going on. I don't care, you know, what it's supposed to look like. I'm gonna get through that door. Like, and when I get in, like, I'm gonna do my thing. I'm prepared. Boot camp, I went through. I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? As any artist can be ready. I studied Mike Tyson film, the greatest boxer I'll ever live. You know what I'm saying? I study his, you know, thought process, his techniques inside the ring, man, people make fun of me, man. People like, yo, you watching this again? People have sat me down and had interventions with me for being obsessed with becoming a rapper. Like, bro, you good? You sure you really?
They don't understand.
Yo,
don't understand.
And that's the thing. Like, they don't. I love it, though. I love it. Now I look back, I love it. Those are compliments to me.
For sure.
I love it. I want to be seen as a cynical maniac for my dream. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be seen like, oh, he's in his right mind, he's doing the right thing. No, I'm not. I'm not in my right mind right now. I've lost it. Oh, every marble. You know what I'm saying? I love it.
I love it too.
I love
bro.
It.
You I think it's saying? Great, dude. I think it's fucking great, bro. I got two more questions for you, my boy.
Facts.
The second one I got out of three is what is your proudest work that you've put out to date? So if someone's listening to this right now,
okay,
and they're like, man, fuck Steven Darnell, man. He ain't shit, bro. And you're like, if you're gonna give me a chance, you gotta listen to this song. What song is it?
My magnum opus. I Wonder Why.
Yo.
Just recorded that not long ago, like a couple months.
And why is it that?
I feel like on that song, first of all, it displayed, you know, me as a seasoned, you know, vet. Like, you know, you can tell I know my way around, you know, beats and tracks, and just like have really studied and worked on my craft as a rapper. I just, you know, how I attack the pockets, just knowing how to flow, content wise, like the things I've said. You know, even I have to play it back and just like, man, you know, can't believe I said that. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, how did I get, you know, to that space? I think how raw the track is and just the quality of the overall production. Shouts out my guy James Burns, who is actually like an understudy of Static Selecta, you know, and just showed me love, man, in that moment. And you know, played the song on Shade 45 on his Show Off radio show. Comes on every Thursday. He played, you know, played my record in the midst of all these other mainstream artists. And it was just like, it was a proud moment. I feel like, you know, that song will blow your mind and lead you to a myriad of other songs that's going to entrap you as well. Yeah.
Word, dude. Word. Third question for you. Last question I got for you, bro. I'm thinking about what you said earlier, you know what I mean? When you was around and people calling you like, you know, like, Red, come over here and stuff. If you had to talk to yourself at any point to give yourself advice, right? Maybe it's your lowest point. Maybe it's a time where you feel like you were mad confused. What advice would you give to yourself if you could go back in time to that point?
Yo, it's crazy you ask me that because that's something I think about all the time. Honestly, bro, like, I would tell, you know, myself then to break out, like, much like, you know what I'm saying, I'm doing now. Like, don't be afraid, you know, don't be timid. And when I say that, it's like, you know what I'm saying, don't be afraid to, you know, display, you know, that swagger, that grit, you know what I'm saying? Don't feel sad because you that dog. Don't feel guilty for that. You know what I mean? Don't suppress your light. Don't dim your light for nobody. Because, you know, I did that a lot trying to, you know, please certain people. And I would have been told, like, my mindset now and how I feel now is just like, you know what I'm saying? I'm back down from nobody. Especially when it comes to my dream. Like, I'm going to ride this until the death. You know what I'm saying? As before, like, I was doubting myself. Like, it ain't no doubt. It ain't no plan B. Like, this what it is. And if you don't agree, you know what I'm saying, that's on you. But I know, like, what I want to do in my life. I would have told him straight up, like, man, let your hair down and just strap in for the ride, dog. It's going to be a long ride. You know?
It is a long ride. My boy, take a minute, take a couple seconds, let the people know where they can find you, your socials, your Insta. If you have any songs, do you have any projects you want to release, any shout outs, now's the time to do that.
Big facts, bro. Like, yeah, man, it's your boy, Darnell, Stephen Darnell, Gaunt Town 334. Follow me on Instagram, Stephen Darnell 334. Twitter as well, you know, S Darnell 334. Just released a single. Like I said, it's entitled "I Wonder Why," produced by James Burns. It's on all streaming platforms right now, streaming like crazy. Stream Larger Than Life on Apple Music, Tidal, Spotify, SoundCloud, you know, everywhere, YouTube. I'm working on, you know, working on something big. Shouts out Black Metaphor, you know, producer out of Atlanta. You know, he's got a lot of credits, you know what I'm saying? Some pretty good credits. Rick Ross, you know, Jeezy. He did some work with Jeezy, things like that. So, you know, I'm pretty excited about working with him. And I feel like I said before about the production thing, now, you know, I'm able to reach another tier in terms of production. So, you know, I'm excited about those projects. And yeah, man, just be on the lookout. You know, I'm about to establish my vlogs and really start dropping those episodes.
Right, I can't wait to see those. Definitely
you
got to see,
you gotta see it. Bro, it's gonna be, yeah, it's gonna be raw. Like, that's what y'all, that was the people wanted. You know what I mean? I guess to kind of like give people a peek into, you know, this world of, you know, chasing, you know, dream chasing and stuff like that. So yeah, be on the lookout for that vlog and you know, those episodes, because be dropping those on the regular. Yes sir. Yes sir. Yeah.
Guys, y'all already know the business.
You know,
AOCHO Podcast, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you find your music, wherever you find your podcast, wherever you find your videos, we are there. And we are also currently working on our website. We got some merch potentially dropping this fall, so y'all definitely check in. Check in with my boy Stephen Darnell, bro. It's been a pleasure having you, boy. And let's just get out of here, man. Let's get out of here.
Bet, bro. How'd it feel, man?
Good, man.
Wow, that shit, bro. That shit, wow. Yeah, great talking to you, bro. Yeah, so, hold on.